Blog Talk Radio.
She walked around an old Durango. They were the same as mine. We walked a mile of mud on dirt roads. We couldn't afford a ride. We shared the pain and laughter. We were as tired as we could be. I always thought we'd last forever. Oh, she's not here with me. She's got new friends now. Guess I didn't measure up. Guess I didn't pass the test. Good as the rest. She's got new friends now. She couldn't care less. Man, I did my best. And I can't figure it out. She's got new friends now. Her. She's been from here to Timbuktu, climbing all those corporate ladders. I sure hope she likes the view from her high rise out in Vegas. Nowhere near our stomping ground. She'll hold the hand that she's playing. She ain't coming back around. She's got new friends now. Guess I didn't measure up. Guess I didn't pass the test. Good as the rest. She's got new friends now. She couldn't care less. Man, I did my best. Can't figure it out. She's got new friends now.
Welcome to Cowboy Wisdom on the SOP Radio, on the Be Wisdom Radio Network. Mary Massard is my guest, and she's having life get in the way of life. She's going to be a few minutes late. In fact, she's right on time. Hello, Mary?
Yes. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Very good. And Mary Massard is my guest, and she's a graduate of Anderson Graduate School of Management. And I want to welcome Mary to the show now, because Mary has some wisdom for business that will really expand business. So I'm not going to mess around, and we're going to get right and let Mary tell you what she does for business and how she expands the world.
Well, thank you, Bob, for having me on the show. You know, it was funny while I was thinking about speaking with you and our past conversation that was so pleasant, I thought about all of our talk about common sense and how uncommon common sense is. And I thought, gee, maybe I need to rebrand myself to the Cowgirl's Common Sense Approach to Marketing. I need to adopt your cowboy cowgirl theme and apply that with common sense. Because I think that is really the largest thing that I bring to bear to businesses. So before I go on about me, I always like to start a conversation with a question. So if you'll indulge me, why were you interested in having me on the show?
Because this show is about expanding people and letting them see a new way to experience life. And when I talked to you that other day, we had about a 45-minute conversation. I was just excited about the way you presented yourself and the way you had common sense because you talked to the workers. You're one of the very few people that's an executive consultant that actually understands the workers have the answers. And after talking with you, and there was just something about your persona and the way you presented yourself, but it's also about the way you expand people in a common sense cowgirl way.
Oh, that's terrific. I think I really am going to adopt that. I know at least I'll write a blog with that title, definitely. And it is true. One of the things that I do when I consult is, of course, I'm generally hired by the executive or a board of directors to come into a company. But what I do is spend time not only with the executive and the board of directors. I spend a lot of time with workers. And I find that many, many, many times, more often than not, particularly on operational issues, the workers have the solution. They just don't have the voice. And so very often I'm able to come in and sort of be that glue between the two that listens. And it's not that they have an insensitive or uninterested, leadership. That's not necessarily the case. It's very often those people are just very busy with what it is they have to do, which is to lead. And there isn't someone there to do that in-between listening. Often middle management isn't doing enough of that. So I do spend time with that level and bring forth that information. And it has been surprising, the solutions that we've been able to come up with to save companies a lot of money, actually, particularly, as I said, operationally, by listening to the workers. They're doing things day in, day out, day after day after day after day, because that's the way they're told to do them. And when they don't do them that way, they get in trouble. So what would any human being do but to continue to do the way you're not going to get into trouble? But if someone comes in and asks them honestly and openly with willing and trusting ears, tell me what you would do if this were your business, they surprise me every single time. And it's something they've given a lot of thought to. It's something they think about. They want the business to succeed. They want things to be better. They just don't have the ability to and are not empowered to make those changes. So that is really something that I'm very passionate about, actually. I hope you can hear that in my voice, is when I am in management positions, because I've done both. I do consulting, and I also do some long-term assignments, and I also have been an employee as well in leadership roles. But empowering the workers to make their own decisions is one of my passions. And it's one of the ways that I'm able to turn businesses around as quickly as I have been able to. And I'll give you a silly example, maybe not so silly. My first day with a top major marketing company in the United States in a leadership role, I had the receptionist quasi-assistant come to me and ask if he could order paper. And I said, well, do you need paper? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, then what are you asking me for? Order paper. If you need paper, order it. And he said, well, everything before I had to ask everything, even paper clips. And I said, listen, sit down. Let's cut a deal. Up to X amount of dollars, if you need it, buy it. It's beyond that, and it's something bigger that you've come up with that'll make, the day more productive for you or make the company more money, let's sit down and talk about it. But day-to-day little small things, things like that you need to do your job, don't come and see me. Now, that's an exaggeration, of course, but it's an actual story that happened to me on my first day in a leadership role of a multi-million-dollar marketing company in the United States. Pretty shocking.
You know, what you're saying as when I work as an electrician, I see that every day. I see where they just cut corners. They'll spend $10,000 to save $100, but they thought they did good. And Mary, here's the thing I'm hearing in your voice, and when you talk to people, and I feel this comes out, is the trust people put in you because you're talking and listening from your heart. And it's a genuine trust that you put forth. And how have the workers of this world and this environment today been unlistened to, and that's kind of the reason most corporations are cut, because they don't understand how to expand.
Exactly. And they make cuts in areas and for the wrong reasons. And very often, the jobs can be saved if what I'm talking about is done. I mean, I've gone into situations where they're facing some dire financial situations. And the solution, of course, is to cut heads. Well, by improving productivity and reallocating those resources to other, perhaps, markets or business ventures or other areas where the business should be growing, actually adds to the bottom line versus, you know, maintaining the status quo, which is draining the bottom line. And I don't think, you know, we're way too knee-jerked to cut to the bottom line. We've also been very too quarter-by-quarter results-driven and short-minded. And that's a pressure that's placed upon leadership. Been there, done that. I mean, I know that, you know, live and die by your quarter results. And often you can have a bad quarter and come back and show extreme profits. I personally had an example where I had 2 or 3 bad quarters. But then come the fourth quarter, which was the beginning of a new fiscal year, that quarter I not only made up everything I had lost, but I came in with a whopping bottom line result. And everyone was shocked because I had been on a decline, a decline, a decline, and they thought, oh boy, she's a loser. And then, boom, I knew my payoff would come because it was doing exactly what I said. Listening to the people, understanding the business, understanding the potentials that were there, understanding the missed opportunities, redirecting staff, redirecting energies towards the missed opportunities and improving the existing operations. And through that process, yes, it took us 3 quarters, but the payoff happened on the fourth quarter. And a lot of businesses are very short-sighted and won't give themselves the time to turn their businesses around that they need. And they don't plan for that. They don't plan for dips. They don't plan for decreases. You know, one thing that there is too little of is, you know, the common sense that there are no new ideas, just new applications. And there's some examples of that, you know, that I could give, like word of mouth marketing. Well, that's been around since, you know, BC, before Christ. And now we use it with different tools and applications, and we now call it social media marketing. And the amazing thing to me in that area is that people are stumbling upon the realization that there are negative ramifications to using social media. Gosh, someone may say something bad about me. Well, the age-old adage for the word about marketing, when we used to call it that back in the day, was that a happy customer would tell someone somewhere in the range of 1 to 3 people about their pleasant experience with your company or your product. An unhappy customer would tell 10 or more people about their unhappy experience. So why would we think that the same rules wouldn't apply to social media? It's still people telling other people, just in a different forum. And I think that utilizing that technique is undervalued, it's underappreciated, and its power for being good or bad is certainly not fully realized, because there isn't that connection that it really is just an old idea utilizing different tools and different applications.
Now, you said a lot of really, really profound things in there. Well, you said something about the unwillingness to see new, because if you do the same way and stay the same way, you actually understand what's coming out. But if you expand out and it don't look good, you don't look good in your own eyes, they become fearful. So how do you get the mid-managers and the upper managers and everybody to see, just because it's a new way and there's going to be tweaking to be involved, to understand that, Mary?
Well, I'm going to tell you an old mob thing, and that is the fish rots from the head down. And that requires the leadership in the organization to not only empower the workers, but also to empower those mid-level managers and reward the mid-level managers for risk-taking, for empowering their people, for solving problems. Not just, again, going back to the quarter-by-quarter results. It's very short-sighted. It's not long-term. And that's why I'm a big proponent. We used to call it MBO back in the day, a management by objective. And some of those were fiscal-oriented objectives, but also some of those were problems that existed in the business and or the desire or the need for opportunities in the business. And people were rewarded for achieving the fiscal gains equally to achieving the operational or business gains or marketing objectives. And I don't see enough of that. I only see us rewarding people for monetary fiscal objectives. And with that, there's short-sightedness and a lack of really sort of overview and foresight. But to sort of answer your question, again, the fish rots from the head down. It really is a leadership that needs to empower and reward the middle managers who are then able and freed to empower their employees and to listen to them. I'll give you another example. I worked for another major marketing, international marketing company, and it was our bonus time period. And so I was the new kid on the block, and I was going to get this nice big bonus. And I went around to my colleagues and said, well, how do you divide this amongst your staff? And they said, oh, don't do that. And I said, what? And they said, oh, no, don't start that, because then we'll all have to do it. And I realized how sad that was. Because there was no way that I could have achieved that big fat bonus if it weren't for the team that supported me to achieve that. And sadly, to sort of keep the balance and everyone happy, I had to do it in a cloak and dagger sort of way and, you know, take my team out to a celebratory lunch and very quietly hand them gift cards. And that was my way of sharing my bonus with them. But that short sight, and guess whose team then outproduced everybody else's team quarter after quarter, year after year, you know, my team, because we were a team. We were all in it together, and I very clearly showed them that my success was because of their success, and their success was because of my success. And that's a small example of you know, taking that leadership initiative to acknowledge, reward, and listen.
You just said the keys to life: acknowledge and listen.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
reward.
This has been. Go ahead.
And reward, I said.
Yeah, and reward. You know, the unions, they're really struggling, and that's because of just what you said. And they lack the leadership also. But how is it the impatience and the selfishness in the world today, not only the business world, but even in the personal world, really diminishing the expansion of the world? To you, Mary.
Boy, if I had the answer to that, I mean, I can only relate to my own experiences and tell you that I had to look at my, in this situation I gave you where, you know, I asked my teammates, gee, how do you share your bonuses? And they, oh, don't do that, you know. I risked ostracizing my peers. But I believed in my heart it was the right thing to do. And I believed in my heart it was the right thing to do, not only because it was the right thing to do for my employees, but it was also the right thing to do for the business, because I knew it would come back to the business 2, 3, 4-fold. And so I guess, gosh, maybe that goes to the golden rule, huh? You know, treat others as you would like to be treated. And maybe that's what we don't have enough of. Where we, you know, they call many, you know, the me generation, you know, what's in it for me? And I don't think there's enough of what's in it for us. And also, again, short-sighted, this not what's in it for us in the long term. And I think we see that in many areas now. We're trying, I mean, you could apply that to our environment. You could apply that to our economic situation. You could apply that to our healthcare situation. You know, the fact that, you know, will often be expenses will be paid for to treat an illness, but expenses won't be paid to prevent an illness. So there's an example of it. Also the short-sightedness in economics, and also the short-sightedness in our environment. Well, it works for me today to cut down all these trees, and I'll worry about, you know, let my kids worry about what happens when we run out of trees.
And that is exactly what's going on today. And Mary, when you go into a business that's having some severe challenges and you start telling them about the management, is the answers are inside the company, how do they feel about that?
That's actually one of my major points. Is different, you know, one of the things I try to do for people is to really make them understand they need to differentiate their business. And one of the things that differentiates me from other consultants or other leadership people is that I'm not afraid to tell the leader what the leader needs to do to change. I'm not afraid to tell it like it is. And many people don't want to hear that the king has no clothes on. In fact, a lot of consultants and many consultants will never tell their client the truth because they view it as, you know, biting the hand that feeds them. I, on the other hand, view telling them the truth will help them in their business, and that's why they hired me. They hired me to help their business. And if they are harming their business, or their middle managers are, or something else is hurting their business, I feel like I have an obligation to tell them that. So if they have no clothes on, I tell them they have no clothes on. And I often tell people that they have a good product or service, that they're spending too much to make it, or hunting the wrong customer. Sometimes the obvious is difficult to see when you are mired in the day-to-day operations of the business. And so I don't hold it against the leadership or the managers for doing that. I understand that. But when you get to that point, that's when it is time to call in someone like me who will tell them like it is and who is on their side and confidentially will help them change and turn their business around to be profitable.
You know, you said something very, very astute to me. You know, you go in and tell them the truth, but how many people have told them the truth and probably been fired or punished for telling them exactly what you did?
Well, and I have, you know, I've had clients not take my proposal because even sitting with them for, let's say, an hour interview, I can identify some issues. And in my proposal, I may present some possible solutions or areas in which we want to work. We might want to pursue looking into. And just that information alone might prevent that person from hiring me. But I view that as that wouldn't be a good fit because I would not in the long term be successful for that person because I can't tell them truly and honestly what's wrong and what will make things better. So to me, I look at that as a win-win. They're really not honestly looking to solve the problem. They may be looking to hear what they want to hear. And there can be a lot of reasons for that, but that I just have to look at that as that's just not a good fit for me.
And when it's not a good fit, it never is a good fit. But how many businesses, Mary, that you told the truth to that didn't hire you ended up either doing what you said or failing?
Off the top of my head, looking back through my history, I can tell you probably close to 85 to 90%, if not higher.
And see, you know, what you just said through this whole show is the reason this country has a $14 trillion deficit, because nobody wants to hear the truth.
Exactly.
And I want to really emphasize for everybody that's listening, if you listen to Mary, this all comes from her heart, and also she's willing to share her wisdom, and that makes her a heartfelt entrepreneur that will expand anybody's business. But I really heard it in her voice that it's in her heart, because she really has a heart for people to see to succeed. And I really want to thank you, Mary, for everything that you've done, for everything. But Mary, when you go in and you start seeing them stonewalling you, do you really you see it quickly once it's happened to you? So how do you start breaking that wall? Let's say for somebody who wants to go into a company and tell the truth like you, and you start seeing that stonewall, what is one thing you do to kind of open that wall up so they start seeing a different way?
Right. I first of all, always try to both sit on the same side of the table and look at the problem. So it's you and I, shoulder to shoulder, looking at this problem together. How are we going to solve this problem? It's not me coming in and telling you, gee, you have a problem. Well, you probably already know that. Two, you're the problem. Well, you might know that too. You just don't want to hear it. It's both of us together discovering it and then looking deeper into any data, any facts, any historical information, any research information that may be out there, something else other than just me to support what it is that I'm telling them. And sometimes they might need to hear it from two to three different sources. It could be another consultant. It could be a report that I can give them that I haven't written, but someone else has that supports what I'm trying to tell them. I'll often even give them the opposition. Here's the alternative to what I'm telling you to do, and ask them if they think that'll work. And then we literally sort of take that down the line to see what the end result is. And that way, for lack of better terms, I'll say it's leaving breadcrumbs. And it brings the person to the realization that if I'm at this fork in the road and I go left, it's not going to end well. If I go right, again, based upon experience, research, and really clearly following each and every step, this taking, you know, the right road will lead to success.
And
so
Mary,
that's how I try. I try to not make it about me being the expert. I try to make it about how can I help you solve the problem? How can we together solve this problem? And we're not the only ones that have faced this problem, because just like there are no new ideas, there are no new problems. It's just what information is out there, and what experience do I bring, and what experience can I find to share with you to help you solve your problems.
And Mary, real quickly, let's give out your email address, your website, so people can find you and their business.
Sure. Yep. Absolutely. I have a very simple address, and it's just my name, mary.massard, and I'll give out my Yahoo address. So it's mary.massard@yahoo.com. And my blog that I write, which is how most people find me, and I've done websites, I've done it all, but people seem to like blog format the best, and that is HTTP, and then it's justaskmary.blogspot.com.
All right, Mary, it's been a fast half hour, and I really want to thank you and all the listeners, but Mary, you give people a lot of good wisdom today to move their life forward, not only their life, but their business. So I want to thank you for being my guest. And we'll have Mary back if she chooses to come back pretty regular, because people need business expanding wisdom from a cowgirl.
Yeah, from a cowgirl. I'm going to adopt that. I like that a lot. And I have roots in Oklahoma, so I think I can stake claim to that.
Yes, I do. Yes, you do. Yes, you can. Mary,
excellent.
I really did, and I want to thank everybody, and I got to make an announcement. Wisdom Radio starts next week. Me, Tom, and I have actually got a server, and we're going to start our own radio show and TV shows on our own network on the Internet.
I'm excited for you. And if there's any way I can help, let me know.
Well, don't worry. I know somebody that needs business advice, and I see him in the mirror every morning.
Well, then you're smarter than most, Bob.
Well, this is honest God the way I look at life. Now, the one that knows the least in my life is me, and everybody that enters my life is for a nugget of wisdom. So I'm looking for wisdom all the time.
We share that as well. I always hire people that are smarter than I am. So we share that in common as well.
All right.
Well,
and I wish Mary is writing a thank you. And Mary is also writing a book, and I can't wait to read that book.
Yep, and we haven't titled it yet, and maybe it'll have something about a cowgirl in it now.
Well, that's what it should have. And everybody, I'm going to say and it's really been a privilege and an honor. And good night, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Bob.